The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark chapter 1, beginning at the 40th verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. And this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I'd like to speak to you from the first reading, from 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, as we hear the word this morning, indeed let us be inspired to run the Christian race, to keep the faith, to keep our eyes on the prize, and to win the goal. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus, our King and our Victor. Amen. In 1952, Florence Chadwick set out to become the first woman to swim the Californian coastline and Catalina Island, a distance of some 41 kilometres. She set out on this grueling swim only to stop a couple of kilometres short of her goal when dense fog set in and she lost sight of the shoreline and she just gave up. Well, a few months later, she had another go, and this time with the vision of the Catalina coastline firmly in her mind, she swam. And even though once again thick fog set in, she kept swimming with grim determination and single-minded focus, and yes, she made it to the end, to her goal. The goal of the Christian race is eternal life in heaven, and then in the new creation with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. There are two things about the Christian race that is different from a normal foot race. Firstly, it is that we have already received the victor's prize because the race has been won for us by Jesus when he died on the cross. Secondly, we don't run in competition with each other. We run as a team to cross the finishing line together. And so therefore this morning I want to talk to you on the theme of living as winners. The Christian life is a race. It involves discipline, training, and focus. The imagery of a race involves effort. Even though we have received the victor's crown in Christ, it is not ours until we actually faithfully cross the finishing line. It is possible to crash out of the Christian race. It's possible to get all wobbly and run off course. We can also strike roadblocks, and one of the greatest roadblocks is pride. We can trust in our own works rather than the works of Jesus to get us across the line. And as we run as a team, we can also suffer hurt, especially because we're running together. And this hurt can cause us to crash out. Someone can offend us. We can feel unappreciated. We don't feel that others are meeting our needs. So how do we go forward? The answer is in Paul's words in Philippians 1, 3, 13 and 14, where he writes on a similar theme, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We go forward by filling our hearts, our minds, our all with Christ Jesus and what lies ahead of us, not holding on to the hurts and disappointments of what has gone behind us. We're encouraged to go forward as a team and to fill ourselves with Christ and focus on Him and press on and experience resurrection power. On this second weekend in February in my previous parish in New Zealand in Westport and the surrounding area fills to overflowing with competitors for the Buller Marathon and Half Marathon. Among them are competitors doing the race for different reasons. Some run or just walk it for the fun of it, for the sake of saying that they've done it. Others take it as a personal challenge, knowing deep down inside they won't get a place, but they want to do their best. And then there are those who are the professionals and the marathon addicts. They train hard for the event. They follow the marathon circuit around New Zealand and even around the world. Their preparation is meticulous. Their bodies are well-oiled running machines. They're looking to win first prize and get the glory that goes from being a winner or maybe a place getter. Paul is writing to the Christians at Corinth. Now, athletic contests were common in the Greek world. The Isthmian Games, second only in popularity to the Olympic Games, were held in Corinth every 2 years. So the members of the Corinthian congregation were certainly familiar with the athletic imagery that Paul is using here. He writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Only one person wins any marathon or foot race. Therefore, all the runners make every effort to win. Winning is more than just starting the race. It is true in the Christian race that there is more than one winner, but the point that Paul is making here is that we need to give our best in the Christian race, just as an athlete gives his or her best in order to win their race. We run the Christian race with the same intensity as the professional runner or the marathon addict. How do they win the race? Well, Paul says everyone who competes in the race goes into strict training. Back in Paul's time, they didn't have ASICS shoes. They wouldn't have had places like the Institute of Sport, where you can have special training and an eating program designed for you. They wouldn't have had all the modern gadgets used to measure performance that the athletes have today. The Greek word for compete in the games is agonismai. And it gives us the words, as you can probably easily tell, agony and agonize. And history tells us that in the Isthmian Games and other games, the athletes trained hard for a period of about 10 months beforehand, going into strict training and practicing moderation in everything so they could be well prepared for their race. Similarly, the Christian race requires determination, effort, discipline, and training in order to run successfully. The prize for their winning the foot race at the Isthmian Games was a wreath of pine needles. This crown is perishable. The Christian has before them something of much more worth, a crown of eternal life, a crown that will last forever. The strenuous self-denial and training of an athlete as he sought a reward is a rebuke to half-hearted, flabby Christian service. One of the former leaders of my former denomination, the Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand, used to say that one of the biggest spiritual diseases in the church had nothing to do with sin as we understand it. He said that one of the biggest spiritual diseases in the church is spiritual obesity. And this is that each week Christians come along to church, they receive good gospel nourishment in the sermon and excellent spiritual food in the sacrament, and they just waddle out of the church, get up out of their seat, and then come back next week having done nothing with what they've received and gorge themselves again. I wonder if that spiritual disease apply to the Anglican Church as well as the Lutheran Church. How much more agony than a sore tailbone once the service nears its end do you put into your Christian race? Because the prize that we are running for is so important. It is the motivation for the hard work that we need to put into the practice of our faith. Paul says, "Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." As Christians, we run the race with purpose, with vision, with aim, and with goal. As Christians, we don't run the Christian race like an athlete without direction, goal, or purpose. We don't run ineffectively like a boxer who throws a punch and misses. No, as Christians, we put everything into direct, forceful Christian endeavor, because that is what makes the prize in the end. Paul says, "I beat my body and make it my slave." This doesn't mean that he sees the body as being evil. What he means is that bodily desires must be kept under control, or else they can disqualify us from the prize. Now, you're probably thinking of things here like sexual immorality, love of money and greed, accumulation of material goods, and so on. All that is true, obvious and true. But there's another passion of the self that is not so obvious that we are to pummel if we are not to disqualify ourselves from the prize. And that is to overcome the idol of self. And that's something that I've been shown I've needed to deal with in my journey. Now, most of you know that I came to the Anglican Church 14 years ago after being a Lutheran pastor for 19 years. I had a parish in the Lutheran Church of New Zealand, and there was trouble in the congregation between various groups even before I got there. And when I got there, I was caught in the middle of it, and after 4.5 years, it wore me out and I resigned. And I was the third of their last 5 pastors to have done so. Well, it was on the morning of December the 10th, 2008, after I had left, I was lying in bed listening to Bob Gass and the Word for Today on Radio Rima just after the 6:30 a.m. news. And his devotion for the day was about hindrances to answered prayer. And in it he said these words, "Having a pure heart that loves God and loves people is always an acceptable motive to the Lord. Selfishness is unacceptable, revenge is unacceptable, manipulation and control are unacceptable, jealousy is unacceptable, pride is unacceptable. In fact, anything that is selfish is an unacceptable motive." A.W. Tozer writes, The labor of self-love is a heavy one indeed. Think for yourself whether much of your sorrow has not arisen from someone speaking slightingly of you. As long as you set yourself up as a little god to whom you must be loyal, there will always be those who will delight to offer affront to your idol. How can you hope to have inward peace? The heart's fierce effort to protect itself from every slight will never let the mind rest. Well, it was A.W. Tozer's words that really got me. I thought to myself that morning that how much of the pain that I carried from the congregation that I had left came as a result of me setting myself up as a little god, a little idol, to whom not only me but others must be loyal. How much of the discomfort I still carried was as a result of my heart's fierce effort to protect itself from every slight. Now, I'm normally a fairly spiritually aware person, but I was sinning here in a way that I never imagined, and God called me out on it, and I had to vacate the throne of my life and put him back on it. Why he even called me to do my own bit of historical confessing and repenting over the whole matter. Now, I do feel an inner peace about my time in that parish, and I wonder in what condition I would have been in or ended up in if the Holy Spirit would not have worked through that word as he always does that day. I suppose I'd still be sitting on the throne of Steve Wachner. I would still be all self-righteous over what happened. I could still be all innocent and everyone guilty. Deeper down, I could be disturbed, bitter, and vengeful over what happened. And in the end, if I kept going down that path, it could have had the power to disqualify me from the Christian race. But instead, God dethroned the idol of self in my life. And sure, he still often makes a grab for power, but now I've been given the spiritual awareness about that. I have a degree of peace going forward that I never had before God spoke to me that morning through that devotion. My friends, do you need to do a bit of dethroning of the idol of self? Do you need to do a bit of spiritual pummeling of your body? Do you need to beat your body, not literally, but in turning deliberately away from particular sins of self? Today we've heard a wonderful testimony from Kay, being called to the Christian race and running the Christian race, and all that she had had to face over the years, and things that she had to let go of as she runs the Christian race. We can choose to let the past nobble us and hold us back, or we can follow Paul's words, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Let us press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. We have won the prize through Christ. We are winners. So let us live as winners, living and sharing the Jesus life. Onwards and upwards. Press on, my fellow Christian team members. Soar, you eagle Christians. Amen.